This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yeheyis Wuhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight.
Right now I'm in central Harare, and I can hear live gunfire coming from the Electoral Commission, which is right next to the headquarters of the ruling party. What we've heard is that security forces have shot people with live rounds in the center of town near opposition headquarters.
That's VOA correspondent Anita Powell reporting from Harare. We'll have the latest developments coming up.
Also, the governor of North Kivu province in the DRC confirms the presence of the deadly Ebola virus.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Chaos enveloped the Zimbabwean capital of Harare today as police and soldiers fired rubber bullets, live rounds, tear gas, and water cannons at angry opposition protesters who pelted them with rocks and started fires. Five armored vehicles with mounted high-caliber weapons navigated through the streets. At least two bodies with bullet wounds were seen in the streets. The clashes followed accusations from the primary opposition leader that he won the presidency, and the ruling party is trying to rig the outcome of parliamentary and presidential elections. Observers say this could be another turning point for the southern nation. It was the first election since President Robert Mugabe stepped down under pressure after 38 years in power. Figures from the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission show the ruling ZANU-PF party with 109 seats in the 210-seat parliament. The main opposition movement for democratic change had 41 seats. That would give ZANU-PF well over the two-thirds majority required to change the constitution. European Union observers said the elections were held on an unlevel playing field, citing voter intimidation and mistrust in the Electoral Commission and media bias. Our colleague VOA correspondent Anita Powell is on the scene atop a rooftop in Harare observing developments as they occur below. She reported on breaking news as I spoke with her.
Right now I'm in central Harare, and I can hear live gunfire coming from the Electoral Commission, which is right next to the headquarters of the ruling party. I'm on a rooftop. I can also see a crowd in central Harare around a pile of burning trash. What we've heard is that security forces have shot people with live rounds in the center of town near opposition headquarters. I can't confirm that. I can't see that from where I am. What I can confirm is that I saw five Zimbabwean army tanks rolling down the main avenue in Harare on their way to the Electoral Commission. The background of that is that the Electoral Commission has yet to release complete presidential results. And opposition supporters, there were about 150 of them maybe outside the gates of the Electoral Commission this morning. Opposition supporters say that they believe that their candidate has won the election, and they believe that the Electoral Commission is going to declare otherwise. Meanwhile, observers have criticized the Electoral Commission for delaying the result, and they say that it is just feeding into this tension that really is at fever pitch right now in Harare. We can feel tear gas in the air. I can feel it in the back of my throat right now, and I can now hear people yelling and cheering from opposition headquarters. I can just see around the corner people are running, and there are fires burning, and I can hear live rounds being fired.
So this has escalated pretty quickly from earlier when we talked.
Yes, it looks like right now, by the way, the crowd at opposition headquarters is running. They might be being pushed back. I can hear shots coming from that direction. It does seem that people are that the crowd is getting larger and perhaps angrier. Also, in central Harare, I saw large rocks just in the middle of the road. People have been throwing rocks at the police, and the police were also firing water cannon at some of the protesters. Just the longer the Electoral Commission delays, the worse this might get, and that's very worrying.
Isn't this a normal process for them to take their time in making sure they're counting every vote?
So that may be the case. It may be the case, and the Electoral Commission is likely to say, you know, just take this much time to count the vote. But I think you have to take into context the Zimbabwean environment where paranoia is at an all-time high. This is a nation that's had two really bruising recent elections where there were very credible allegations of rigging and intimidation. And so any sense of discomfort, any irregularity is going to be felt more intensely by the population here, especially the opposition supporters. So, yes, the Electoral Commission is probably likely to say, well, you know, these things take time. But for the people of Zimbabwe who have said, overwhelmingly, at least in Harare, that they're impatient for change, the explanations from the Electoral Commission are not going to be taken very well. I'm seeing a few dozen people just running in my direction. I'm not sure what they are running from. And they're cowering against a wall. It looks like they're being dispersed by someone. I can't see around the corner and see who it is. And meanwhile, there is more live fire coming from the direction of ZANU-PF headquarters and the Electoral Commission, which, by the way, are right next to each other in central Harare. Also worth noting, protesters earlier today threw rocks at the poster of President Emmerson Mnangagwa right near ZANU-PF headquarters. It's torn to shreds. Oh, and police are arriving now in central Harare. I see a big truck of police. It's not a water cannon, just a big truck of police. They're arriving from the other side, possibly to just surround the people who have fled in this direction. I'm seeing army tanks. Right now, the main street in Harare, which is Samora Michelle Avenue, is deserted. There are very few cars out, and there are just people on the roads. That tank was going towards opposition headquarters.
That was VOA correspondent Anita Powell speaking with me from the streets of Harare.
Meanwhile, in Zimbabwe, activists and NGOs have come together to protect this week's elections by monitoring and debunking fake information. In Bulawayo, correspondent Adi Gondo took a look at the newly established electoral situation room.
The Zimbabwe Electoral Support Network convened the Situation Room, or ESR, in collaboration with 40 civil society organizations in June nationally and 2 days before the elections locally. The ESR, which has thousands of informal election observers, is intended as a coordinating mechanism for sharing and receiving election-related information. One of the people manning the operation, Sean Lovu, is located at Bulawayo Rainbow Hotel.
The Situation Room is a place whereby these 6,000 people are feeding information in connection with the election day and prior. It started like some weeks before the election started, so they've been getting this information and data, and they have been analyzing and finding out to find out whether this election is free and fair and credible. So, yeah, they are collating all that data and trying to analyze, and then they'll make a report about everything.
On election day, they were following up on some checkpoints and claims in collaboration with an organization called Zinfect. On how social media and technology played a role.
We're kind of like collaborating stuff online, getting tweets, social media information from the cloud, and then we're fact-checking it using this tool called Check.
In a tense and hotly contested election, rumor is bound to proliferate, and this election has been no different.
For example, we made a follow-up on a story whereby there was a polling station that was purported to be only voting for or used by the military, and this was tweeted by one famous social influencer in Zimbabwe, and we fact-checked the story and found out, no, that was not true. There was no police station that there. If you check also on the ZEC list of polling stations, it did not appear. So it was one of those stories that went viral big time, and then people were using that, okay, the officials or the ruling party started rigging, and then we managed to debunk it, and say, no, that's not true.
A cross-section of Zimbabwean society has been caught up in the fake news fever. For example, according to Ndlovu, a woman on social media claimed that during the forwarding process of the ballot paper, the votes were migrating to other candidates. The ESR managed to debunk that myth and shared it on social media.
The importance of what we're doing is trying to dispel fake news, trying to push back, trying to make the facts known. Somehow we're trying to be the credible voice or the voice in the dark. The way we thought is best was to use social media. So we would go back to the platforms where we're getting these tools. That was Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp. So we debunk a story, then we reshape back down those platforms, and hopefully they would go viral from that place.
At present, there are no express laws prohibiting the spreading of fake news on social media, although a bill guiding the use of ICTs was tabled last year. However, the bill was shelved after the coup that drove former President Robert Mugabe from power and brought about the government of current President Emmerson Mnangagwa. Though the election situation remains, observers to monitor the polling stations throughout the country, they've been careful not to break the existing Electoral Act, which prohibits the announcing of unofficial election results. They prefer instead to bust myths, misinformation and fake news that could derail public confidence in the vote. Reporting for VOA, this is Adi Gondo.
Opposition leader Jean-Pierre Bemba returned to the DRC today to register as a candidate in the country's long-delayed presidential election. The former vice president landed in the capital of Kinshasa in a private jet and was greeted by thousands of supporters, including members of his Movement for the Liberation of Congo party. He was in prison for more than a decade after his arrest in Belgium led to a trial on war crimes at the International Criminal Court. Appeals judges overturned his convictions for murder, rape, and pillaging committed by his forces in neighboring Central African Republic in 2002 and 2003. The arrival of Bemba may energize the opposition, which is concerned that President Joseph Kabila will find a way to retain power. And with us on the line right now, live from Kinshasa, is our VOA reporter, Roger Muntu. Hello, Roger.
Hello.
Yes, thank you for joining us now. Can you tell us more about Bemba's return today?
Yes, definitely. Supporters of the former rebel leader and vice president have gathered since very, very early this morning here in the street of the capital, Kinshasa. Several people were waiting for him at Njili Airport. Police actually used tear gas to try to disperse the crowd that came to welcome Jean-Pierre Bemba from Njili Airport, where he landed. According to some Congolese expert, his arrival triggers a new and intense phase of political maneuvering and instability in the country.
And just exactly why is this?
So, well, according to some people that were found there already at the airport, the police asked the vehicles that were there in the area to accelerate the speed of the procession, but the population refused. It's only at that moment that the police officer decided to launch the tear gas. So experts think if it's already starting like that, it can only multiply itself and create problems in the political arena.
Where does President Kabila stand at this point?
I'm sorry, say it again.
Where does President Joseph Kabila, where does he stand at this point?
Well, at this point, Jean-Pierre Bemba was not prohibited to come to the country. You know, officials who are talking in the media, with the media, they're saying he is welcome. It's his country. He can come to his country anytime he wants. There shouldn't be any problem, and that's the view of the government at this point.
Also, I understand there's another possible opposition candidate, and that's the millionaire businessman Moise Katumbi. What does he offer, or is he considered really a true rival?
Well, he is, you know, for his size and the people who are behind him, he is a really big opponent in the position. He is one at the top candidate. But the arrival of Mbemba is just going to change so much in that, because until then, Moise Katumbi was one that people were looking as the contender against the government. But now that the arrival of Mbemba is just going to change everything, because they think that the Mbemba 55, who left the country, as you say, in 2007 and spent a little over 10 years in prison. The former lord is expected actually to run for presidential election in his return, and that will mobilize, and that's what most people think. They think it will mobilize opposition to President Joseph Kabila, who has been in power since the assassination of his father in 2001. So yes, People think that at some point, Moise Katumbi and Bemba and the other people in the position will, you know, form a block as one to go against the government in place.
Okay, thank you so much, Roger Muntu. You're a reporter there in Kinshasa. Thanks so much for your input.
Thank you. Welcome.
The governor of North Kivu province in the Democratic Republic of Congo says the deadly Ebola virus has been confirmed there. He tweeted that the Ministry of Health confirmed the diagnosis after an analysis. He called for calm and prudence. The Associated Press is reporting there are 4 cases. Just a week ago, the World Health Organization and the DRC declared an outbreak of Ebola was over in a different part of the country after no new cases had been reported in the previous 42 days. That's twice the disease's incubation period. It was the 9th outbreak of Ebola in the DRC and killed 29 people, but health officials credited quick action and a vaccine for limiting the disease's spread.
You're listening to African News Tonight live on the following frequencies, 15, 580 and 6080 kilohertz on the Voice of America. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
I'm Yehiz Tuhib, 21 past the hour. Here's a recap of our top stories. Tanks rolled into the Zimbabwean capital of Harare today and police fired live rounds and tear gas at opposition supporters. Opposition leader Jean-Pierre Bemba returned to the Democratic Republic of Congo today to register as a candidate in the country's long-delayed presidential election. And the governor of North Kivu province in the DRC confirms the presence of the deadly Ebola virus. And for more news and information, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
Comoros President Azali Assoumani is expected to call early elections after voters approved a referendum dropping the limit on a single term and allowing him to make other changes to consolidate power. Election officials say Monday's referendum received almost 93% approval with 64% turnout, although the opposition boycotted the vote and suggested the results were faked. Assoumani claimed the referendum will pave the way for stability in a country that has suffered at least 20 coups or attempted coups since it gained independence from France in 1975. But tensions have been rising over the referendum. The president now has the authority to drop the 3 vice presidents and end the system of rotating power among the 3 main islands located between Mozambique and Madagascar. Assoumani banned protests in May. One of the vice presidents survived a recent assassination attempt.
South Africa's latest employment figures are out and the jobless rate has increased by 0.5 percentage points to 27.2% in the second quarter of 2018. The manufacturing sector is hardest hit by job losses, followed by community and social services. The local currency, the rand, performed marginally weaker following the news. From Johannesburg, Nadia Sami has the story.
More South Africans were out of work in the second quarter of the year compared with the first 3 months. The news is surprising to some amid President Cyril Ramaphosa's drive to bring billions worth of investment into the country and his promises to assist small businesses. But Chief Economist at Econometrics, Dr. Azar Jamin, is quick to point out that the promised investments are just that, and nothing's materialized yet.
You've got to bear in mind that talking of a big investment boost, that is still prospective. A lot has to happen before we attract that investment. And it's you cannot talk about the unemployment rate coming down just because it has been suggested that and promises have been made of investment. The fact is that nothing has happened as yet. And so in the interim, what we have had is a very weak economy. Certainly in the first quarter of this year, it was extremely weak. And there is usually a lag between growth in GDP and growth in employment. And in the first quarter of this year, we had a contraction in our GDP.
Youth unemployment remains a major headache for the South African government. Nearly 54% of young people who are eligible to work are sitting at home. The country is regularly rocked by protests over the high cost of tertiary education. Dr. Jamin has these suggestions to get young people employed.
There are basically two factors that can improve youth unemployment. The first is education to produce more successful outcomes. Then many of the youth would become more employable. They would be able to add more value to the economy. The second factor is to try and reduce the power of the trade unions, because the unions are basically currently representing more the middle-aged sections of the population, those over the age of 30, and it is not in their interest to see youth employment prospering, because they fear that that would result in many of their own members losing their jobs.
Manufacturing has shed the most jobs, 105,000 in the second quarter. The transport sector has gained 54,000 jobs. Dr. Jamin explains why.
Unfortunately, the fact that manufacturing continues to shed jobs is an indication of the manner in which education and associated productivity are lagging heavily behind in the manufacturing sector. And as a consequence, that sector, which has been shedding hundreds of thousands of jobs over the last decade, continues to do so right now. On the other side, the improvement in employment in the transport sector is really just a function of the fact that transport is extremely critical as a means of enabling people to even look for jobs because of the spatial configuration created by apartheid, whereby people tend to live far from their place of work.
Statistics South Africa also says black women remain the most vulnerable in the job market. For VOA Africa, I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg.
Libya's Coast Guard says it intercepted more than 570 migrants in rubber boats off its coast today. That came a day after an Italian-flagged ship picked up 108 migrants and returned them to Libya, sparking criticism from the United Nations. The refugees from Africa and the Middle East who were picked up today were in three groups, two near Tripoli and one near the western town of Zawiya. Libya is a major starting point for the perilous crossing of the Mediterranean, and it has been picking up refugees still in its territorial waters. The situation was less clear on the group that was returned to Libya yesterday. It says they were still in Libyan waters when an Italian ship picked them up in coordination with the Libyan Coast Guard. But aid groups and the United Nations said they may have been in international waters. The UN Refugee Agency says that would be a violation of international law, because returning the migrants to Libya would put them in danger.
And that wraps up this edition of African News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis. And for all the latest developments on the continent 24/7, visit our website at voaafrica.com.
For listeners on VOA's Nairobi FM station, please stay tuned for the Swahili Evening News coming up at 16:30 UTC.
For all other listeners, please stay tuned to the Sunny Side of Sports. Tune in again at 1800 UTC for another edition of Africa News Tonight. On behalf of our producer, Kwame Afori, and our engineer, Solomon Terawali, thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
May be winding down, but the battle for the best song of the season is heating up here on Border Crossings. Join host Larry London for an hour packed with the biggest songs of summer 2018. We'll be counting down all of the contenders as they duke it out for the title of this season's hottest song on the airwaves. Will your favorite track reign supreme? Tune into this special episode of Border Crossings on August 6th at 1500 Universal to find out, only on VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. and our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
VOAAfrica.com.
News, features, music from Africa and around the world. You want it? We have it on VOAAfrica.com.
VOAAfrica.com.
All day, all night.